The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Lizzie carry basket on the head. Lizzie carry basket on the head. She swing the hips like the ding dong when she carry basket on the head. Lizzie carry basket on the head. Lizzie carry basket on the head. She swing the hips like the ding dong when she carry basket on the head. Now Lizzie live in the back hills in back of grocery store. She carry basket from market, carry fish and rice to the store.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 10th of November, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Thursday, that means it's a Culture Thursday, and today we are playing the How Bahamian Are You game show, Healthy Living Edition, with my guest today, Mrs. Rhonda Wright. Good morning, Miss Wright.
Good morning. Good morning. A pleasure to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Good, good. Before you introduce yourself, let me introduce that song we opened the show with.
Please.
That's Lizzie Carey Basket. The notes on the video say that it's performed by Peanuts Taylor, our very own Peanuts Taylor. That's one of the reasons why I chose the song today. The second reason why I chose the song today is because sometimes we're not aware of how culture and behavior and lifestyle are tied together, right? And so I'm listening to this song, Lizzie Carey Basket, on her head, and I realize that it is a thesis, right, on the economics of poverty and the benefits, right, of having to wake hard. Because Lizzie had the best posture in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Lizzie carried basket on her head. Lizzie have the strongest posture in the town. Why? Because Lizzie carried basket on she head.
And Lizzie got plenty discipline.
Absolutely.
To carry basket on her head.
Right. And it turns out a lot of Bahamians was Lizzie had to carry basket on their head. And so your young people, while you're sitting there wondering how it is your Grammy jump up and grab the switch out the air when she's beating you like Naruto, it's because Grammy carry basket on her head. Right? And so sometimes right in front of us, we got all of the lessons.
Absolutely.
We need to tune
lessons
into.
Lessons and examples.
Lizzie carry basket on she head. Well, good morning, Miss Wright. How are you?
I am wonderful. Always a pleasure to be here in these studios. I haven't sat across from you for a while.
Absolutely.
It's good to be here.
Absolutely. I think from Black Food Days, when Alex Morley and Charo, now Mrs. Morley,
yes,
were running the small radio station and community center, Black Food, way back in the day. Good morning. So today we're asking the question, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? I want to throw some more questions in
there. That's a controversial question.
Yeah, it is. It is because I have a love affair with hot sauce and ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. I tell you, we have to go to counseling. Whenever I get, we have to go to counseling so my spouse will understand the role that hot sauce and ketchup plays in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going to ask some more questions. So Bahamians,
and we all have a hot sauce and a ketchup. There is always something in each of our lives, many things, you know, and that's when you talk about culture and, you know, the traditions that we roll with, you know.
Well, Miss Wright, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the whole of the world know you as well as I know you. Please introduce yourself.
Absolutely. So again, good morning. Good morning to all of our listeners out there. Thank you so much, Erin, for having me on your show. Always enjoy listening to you. As I said earlier this morning, that beautiful combination of intellect, knowledge, and comedy. Fabulous in the way that you carry through as a moderator and host on your show. So
thank
I'm happy
you.
to be a guest. And so I am Mrs. Rhonda Wright. I am a mother. of four beautiful children, five. I have a stepson as well. And I am the wife of Koji Wright. I am a marketer by training, an educator, administrator in education by purpose, mm-hmm. and I am a wellness advocate by passion.
Look, that's a wonderful combination because I'm 46 and I'm realizing that you have to teach people how to eat. You have to teach children how to eat, not just how to hold a fork and a knife, not just, you know, how to cook the food, but how to think about food, the whole process
Absolutely.
Of eating. Mm-hmm. Just before we get into the show, I have a very important announcement to make, Ms. Wright. Mm-hmm. This is a notice for the National Association of Roadside Vendors and by them who sell fruit for you
yeah.
in traffic. I'm going to need you all to get your sand dollar wallets in order. Okay? I need you all to get your sand dollar wallets in order. So like when I pull up in the traffic and the traffic stop, I could just pull out my phone, flash mm-hmm. the QR code, mm-hmm. right? Flash and grab and go.
Flash, grab and go. Sound good to me.
Look here. I being really, really, you know, biggity and in your business, but like, you know, cause it's quick and in the road, $2 bag or 3 for $5.
And keep the prices simple so you ain't gotta calculate too much. You ain't gonna take too long. Just go.
Swipe, grab, go. Dear National Association of Roadside Vendors, let's get on it. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get back to this conversation. As you could see, I jonesing. And I know a lot of people are jonesing for the things they used to get easily, readily available to them. Post-Dorian and post-COVID. In this world right now, there's been an absence of that. That thing that we all just relied on. No, man, I can grab. Rasta's beyond the corner. I can get a bag. Don't bother Grammy. You can't do that no more. Mm-hmm. And I am very, very upset. I miss these things. And as a fruit vendor now, it's even more difficult for me to identify fruit because Rasta was my cue. When I see Rasta selling a couple of things, I know the fruit is on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I know it's available for purchase, right? Not just that it's on the ground, I could buy it. And I know it's time to get to business. And Rasta may point me in the direction of the tree. A little competition, mm-hmm, but everything mm-hmm. helps.
But tell me, why are fruits important to you? You know, you started out with the question, do most of us, and this is a question for all of our listeners to ask yourself, because it's something that we probably don't even think about. We are really in an automated kind of way of living, right? Where we're not pausing long enough. We're not really thinking. We're not planning. We're not prioritizing for those things that really matter, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a question that I want us all just to take a few seconds to think about. Are we living to eat or are we eating to live? Because when you think about that, I know what the answer is that we would want to say, but then you have to go further and ask, okay, of course I want to eat to live. I want to live, right? But then does your lifestyle and the foods that you eat reflect that, right? Do your everyday decisions reflect what we ultimately want? And that is to live, to be well, not just to live, but to thrive mm-hmm. and to be well. To be absent or certainly minimal in terms of being down due to sickness or ailment or disease. You know, those things that we have more control over. You referenced the Serenity Prayer, I think, last week or earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And so we want then to be able to speak to those things that we can control. Or are we stressing, right, about those things that we cannot or do not control and then staying there and doing nothing as a result? So there's a lot of things that surround us, that affect us, that influence us currently, but also back in the day, as mm-hmm. you just referenced. There's so much that's changed in the foods we eat and in our lifestyles just in the last 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is negatively impacting us as is so many other things that have shifted and that have changed as a result of external influences and moving away from basic principles and values that our parents and grandparents would have instilled.
Absolutely. And like, as you're saying that, I just thought, the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the microwave has done to us, right? Because, yes, convenience, it makes things easier. But when you warm up food in the oven, all the food warm up the same time. And all the food can get cold the same time, which is an impetus for everybody to sit down the same time
mm-hmm.
and eat. When you're cooking a meal on the stovetop, it all cooks the same time. When you pop something in the microwave, oh, you could pop what you want in. I could pop what I when I want. And so you are no longer forced to do the things that later in life you realize were very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, of course, and I didn't say this, but I'm the founder of Seedlings Place, which is an organization, and our focus and purpose is to support and to guide and to inspire and provide resources to persons, you know, primarily busy working moms,
mm-hmm.
because those still, even today, are the ones who are primarily making the decisions in the home in terms of what the family eats, et cetera, and you know, behaviors that we engage in. But really, for anybody who is a seeker of wellness. And so that is any and everybody, mm-hmm. because even though our behaviors, our patterns, habits may not always reflect that, most of us, that is what we desire,
mm-hmm.
right? And so in that stead, I think that it is important that we do not lose sight of understanding. Well, there are three, let me backtrack a bit. There are three groups. This is my unofficial kind of grouping of people, right?
Yeah.
Not intended to be judgmental, but just over the years, I have been a plant-based vegan eater for 20 plus years now, and in my role as through the organization and supporting and helping people, and now and as I've currently adopted the role as a health coach and taken on that role as a health coach, I've found that people fall in three general categories, right?
Is it chicken, beef, and conch?
No, it ain't chicken,
okay,
beef, and conch.
Okay, just check it.
Well, it may be chicken, beef, and some mushrooms, because, you know, mushrooms is the new meat, in case you didn't know.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, ultimately, three groups, right?
Yeah.
One is you have that group of people who, they have an awareness. They're already on a journey. They are making decisions that are closer to, may not be exactly what they want. They may not be doing all things, and that's okay. But they are currently, actively, consciously, intentionally on a journey to do some things different and better.
Right. So, dear my friend Orchid Burnside, who encourages me in my health journey.
Yes, I know. So, okay.
Right. I tell her all the time, you know, I'm vegetarian, going towards vegan,
mm-hmm.
and every time I buy a cheese roll from her, she's look at me and say, oh, you little baby vegan. But I on the journey to that, and claiming it is important, right?
And see, the awareness that you have, because, again, intentionality. First of all, the awareness. I call it showing up, recognizing that, hey, there's some things I think I want to do a little different here.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to show up, and then decisions that you're going to make that will lead to the things that you say you want to do different, and then executing. But then it comes with an awareness, which is critical, because uh-huh. the awareness doesn't say you're going to do it right all the time. But what the awareness does is, let's just say 7 out of 10 times rather than 2 out of 10 times, you may make the better decision
yeah.
or the decision that will better serve you.
Yeah.
And so that's why awareness is important, but you got to be intentional about it and not move on that everyday roller coaster of nonstop, which we find ourselves on because of the way that life has been set up for us, right? Or the way that we allow life to carry us along in the river. But that's the first group.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that group who has an awareness. Then there's the group, which I think is the larger group, of people who may not be as acutely aware. They've had maybe some seeds, as I call them, planted along the way of their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but they haven't really taken time to harvest, or I should say taken time to nurture and to water the seeds
mm-hmm.
to begin to then to harvest, to blossom and harvest. And so, but if they had an exposure to some information, if they were attached to a group of people that can help and support them, if, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it happens where they may have come into an illness or a family member, something that has brought their awareness into the space of, wow, this has impacted me this way, I need to do something different. So that group of people who, if they knew a little more, if they had some support, if they understood what and where the resources are, they may actually make a change. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us fall in that category.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
then there's that third group who, child, it ain't matter what you do. They the set who is saying, man, I can walk out here and my car can knock me down anyhow, so what's the difference? So that's not really the group who I target or who I speak to. Mm-hmm. They are a part of the community. And so I always say to somebody who may respond that way, that's all right. You may not want to make some changes, but you may hear a little something. Go tell your auntie or your cousin or your sister. Maybe you could help someone else who may be in group one or group two.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I group people generally mm-hmm. speaking. And so it's important for me as this, you know, someone who's been on this journey initially for myself. I started prior to being a mom. And I came into a community of persons who were already deeply on that journey. And mm-hmm. thanks to them and their support and their knowledge, I learned and I garnered from them. And that was the initial stages. And then I dived in to do my own deep research. I've been researching, you know, a wellness detective, if you will, since the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that information, the knowledge that I was exposed to, I couldn't deny. I decided not to ignore it. And I decided, first of all, I was infuriated that I was completely absent of the knowledge, any knowledge and understanding of the impact that decisions that I was making in terms of what I was eating and other things, how it could impact me in the long term, as well as how it was impacting other living things, animals and the earth, right? And so when you, again, become intentional, when you stop long enough to be aware, because in this day and age, with everything that is going on around us, we can no longer live in a vacuum and make decisions without recognizing how this impacts the greater whole. We were talking earlier before the show started mm-hmm. about, and you brought it up earlier, how we've moved away from so many things that, again, prior generations would have grown up with. And one of those things is community. Mm-hmm. Living as a community, thinking as a community, governing ourselves as a community. Fortunately, our family islands still have a lot of that community sense retained.
Yeah.
But here in the city, I know we and when we begin to think like that, we go beyond just our individual existence mm-hmm. and how our decisions, and food is political, everything is political, food is as well. Again, when you do the research and understand where it comes from, you know, who is funding it and all these various things, what's available and what isn't available, how we get what we get in terms of our imports in this country, what is imported into this country, is it the best of the batch or
and who decides, right?
Like exactly.
And who shapes the merchant imagination, right? Because I'm not running a grocery store. Mm-hmm. I can't bring in 10,000 individual items to sell to a whole country. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I sort of recognize that. In the same way, the individual who is exploring this, you know, or on this journey or exploring it, they can make choices for themselves. There are things that they can do, but then they exist in an environment they may not have a lot of control over, right? And so we say from behavior, lifestyle, culture, you can examine your own behavior. You can make changes about your own lifestyle, but you need community to connect to or to continue to grow healthier
Absolutely.
Consumption cultures.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's how Seedlings Place started. We began as a place/support group. Where every month it was open to, and this is in 2007, Seedlings Place was founded. As I said, I started my journey for me, continued that on with my children, my family, mm-hmm. and then in 2007 decided that I wanted to expand that so that my children became connected to other families who were on the same journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was open to anybody in the community. You didn't have to be vegan. You just wanted to learn, either vegan, vegetarian, veg curious, or you just like good food,
yeah.
right? Just interested in being well. And so we came together once a month to do that. We selected an ingredient per month, and we would cook and commune. Sometimes I would bring in a guest speaker so that we can learn, ask questions, and grow together as a community in health and wellness. And we've continued that. I've been away from it actively in the forefront for a while, returning back to it last year. Mm-hmm. But community is a paramount component when you talk about seeking to be well, seeking to make changes in the patterns and behaviors that really we have to recognize and understand that everything, that, well, it's common sense, really, right? Everything that we do, everything that we are, we have brought forward. We say it's either nurture or nature. Mm-hmm. And so the nurturing comes from, you know, whatever our upbringing was like, right? Yeah. What habits and behaviors did our parents, our grandparents, our families, how did that influence us and impact us? And then nature, meaning what environment, what were you around, what external things would have influenced your decisions? And so oftentimes one of the challenges, and I found that when it comes to health and wellness and the decisions that we make in terms of what we're eating and what we're not eating, oftentimes the greatest challenge is not the secondary food meaning the food on your plate, but it's the primary foods, the food off your plate. And what are those things? That's when you talk about, again, what job do you have? Are you happy in your career? What about your relationships? What about your creativity? What about your home? What about your environment? What about your finances? What about your stress level? You know, what about your joy? Are you engaging in things that you enjoy? All of these various things are primary foods that culture, right? What is your religious or spiritual beliefs? All of those things are primary foods that also impact and affect the decisions that we make. And we have brought forward experiences, in some case trauma, in some case, you know, turmoil, wow, that is directing what we do and don't do. Foods that we eat, foods that we're addicted to, foods that, you know, give us comfort. And when we don't make those connections, it interrupts our capacity to decide what direction we want to go.
Absolutely. Our ability to navigate our own lives.
Absolutely.
A flashback for me, I was at COB at the time doing a law program, and mm-hmm, I was vegan. I mean, I was raw and vegan. It was bad. I'd sleep 4 hours, 200 push-ups a day, and at a drop of a dime, right?
Mm.
And I started doing the law program, and I slowly transitioned because I needed to spend the majority of my time in this area near on campus or near the campus, and there were no vegan options. There were no options to store raw food, vegan food, or even to store food that you brought with you or bought on the road. It was just horrible. And people looked at me like, you just do this law program and don't watch nothing. Just do it. And it's just like, I could see y'all don't see the space, how it operates and what it forces you to do and change. Anyway.
But that's an important point because, again, it requires intentionality. It mm-hmm. absolutely requires intentionality and being very conscious and making this deciding, again, I say show up and then decide that there is an outcome that I want, and it's not going to be an easy path. Lifestyle, health and wellness is their ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be perfect. I've been on this journey 20 plus years, and it doesn't mean that I haven't had times when, hey, I ain't doing the ideal. I ain't really feeling the best. And so, but the good thing is I have already developed habits that I know what to do to fall back on. And mm-hmm. it's important priority, and I'm intentional, so I can then make the changes necessary.
Absolutely. Let's get to these calls.
Sure.
And then we're going to take a break, and then I get some questions for you.
Absolutely.
Because somebody told me that I could eat too much fruit, and I don't understand it. I almost pass out when they tell me that. Too much fruit. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Graham.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm well. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, I grew up on good Indian culture food, like Rami food.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up with a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And so the food would take long to cook. Oh, mm-hmm. you'd be hungry, but you learn what hungry is all about. You learn what waiting is all about. And when you do get the doughboy and the conch stew and the fish stew and the Johnny cake and bread and what have you, you enjoy it. But mm-hmm. now a lot of people don't know what hungry is all about because they go microwave the thing and then eat it. But then the question is, we need to. I one time I read what microwave, the radiation and all of that. I don't know. Y'all guys have read about that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about it no more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why maybe we grew up more healthy. Our immune system was more developed
mm-hmm.
because we grew up on the cooked food, on the what you call the, when you bake the bread outside,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
outside oven.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things, and the sun bless the outside oven and all of that. And the real y'all ever eat roast corn?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Don't be dissing us young Nassau people, you know. We know about these things.
I don't know if you know about the rose blonde and the rose corn and the rose.
Listen, because I tell you, Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let me off the side porch. It don't mean I didn't see these things. I just couldn't experience
them and eat them.
I couldn't experience them in person with y'all, that's all.
Yeah, but it's sad though, but you know, it's sad that our generation now, they don't get the microwave and they don't get the full nutrition that we had.
The full experience,
of course, of eating true bohemian food. That's why I'm also asking the question, who are true bohemians? And one of the things that I throw out there, just get confused, one of the things that true bohemians is true bohemian food. Now we sort of mix up like Kong salad.
Look here.
We don't order the true Kong salad, though. Well, there are other guys who know how to make true Kong salad.
Look here, Pumpkin Eater, I got to go. Thank you so much.
Because it's a conversation we must continue.
Yeah.
2 hours to do it.
Yeah.
What you need to do is set an online show, man. You got to play all day.
Look here, I have... This time I'm in wife school. I'm trying to learn how to be a good woman. I don't have time for that, Pumpkin Eater. I got to go. Thank you. Good morning, Carly. You on the clock.
Carly, this is Stark in the West along with you and your panel, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm holding it, but if we could have justice law and order in the Bahamas, I'll be doing better.
Mm-hmm.
I have a voice I want to say, right? Mm-hmm. I have a question for the lady.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to say, right? More than 40 years, I stopped eating meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a food with lot of grease in it, all grease in it, right? Because I usually did a lot of swimming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I swim way out, even though I can't see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit, I say now, I don't want to be bitten by any shark, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop eating meat.
Brayman, look here, that's why I wear shoes in the water. Don't watch nothing.
Yeah, well, that's good too. That's good too. Not color, but you have to wear dark stuff, dark shoes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat any type of meat, right? No eggs, nothing like that. I doesn't drink milk or anything like that, right?
Right.
And I feel wonderful. I feel beautiful. And people have told me I look like I still am plain marble.
Yeah.
So small I am, right?
Yeah.
But I'm healthy. They don't know that I'm healthy. But what I wanna say is to the lady, like how I've never, how I quit eating meat more than 40 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Close to 50.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking of the animals. I've been trying not to. Use leather belt or leather shoes, right?
Oh, yeah, the full range of veganism, yeah.
Right, but the thing is, I cannot find me a good pair of shoe or a good belt unless they're leather.
I got you, Brayman. Thank you, I got you. Thank you for that point. Producer, did you know that there's a Bahamian who is making purses and fabric from pineapple? Or she's using pineapple fiber. I think the plan was for her to begin producing her own fiber. Brayman, I got you. Soon we can be the pineapple leather industry center. Okay? I got you.
And from tires. From tires. We have shoes and various things made from tires. So there are options, not many in the Bahamas.
Right.
But, you know, definitely when you talk about the full gamut of what veganism actually means. Again, I was asked this question last week about a lifestyle, being compassionate to all living things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, understanding the impact of our food choices on the earth as well as other living things outside of ourselves. Everybody's not going to be a vegan.
Right.
And that's fine, but I think the awareness of understanding the impact and many of the issues, climate change and others that we're having today, those choices impact everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, veganism, like you say, you don't have to be vegan all the time, but being aware of veganism and understanding how removing meat from your diet periodically, regularly,
fasting, or even if you want to continue to eat meat again, nobody wants to be a scientist, right? Everyone does not want to be a scientist to get into all of that kind of deep level discussion. But a basic understanding of recognizing that the foods that we eat today are not the same as the foods that Brother Brayman was referring to when he stopped eating it, mm-hmm. because it's grown differently. You know, all kinds of things are pumped into it, etc. You want to look at various factors to understand if I'm going to eat it. How do I combine my foods? What is the portion size that I want to eat? And do I ideally purchase locally grown foods versus not, imported foods? So there's different ways that you can do it and that you should consider in order to still be the best that you can be in terms of health and wellness.
Right. It's like what I prepared to do right now, what I prepared to commit to is vegan throughout the week. And then Sunday dinner, when Ona Bailey cooks Sunday dinner. Sunday dinner, though, I'm going to reserve that day for meats. Mm. And then 6 days a week.
That's more than they. So what is generally said, and Dr. Arlington Lightbourne, who is a functional doctor here in the Bahamas, functional medical doctor here in the Bahamas, he would say, as is generally said in the wellness industry, at least 80% plant-based, whole food, plant-based foods in your lifestyle, you can ward off so much by doing that. And that is more than 80%. Mm-hmm. And so that is an excellent, excellent approach to take.
Absolutely. We got a caller and then producer. When we finish with this call, play that song by Avi. I have a very important question for my vegan friend here. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, I missed my question. When it comes to genetic modified food.
Yeah.
What use is that? Those foods, are they any good? Because I don't like them.
Okay. So there's several ways to genetically modify foods. Some of the things we eat and think are just regular, degular, we've seen for hundreds of years, are actually modified foods, like broccoli, right? Like I think even kale, mustard greens. Now, some foods are genetically modified in a lab.
Yes.
And we have greater concern about the things that are modified in a lab. Now, some people are going to say, but that the broccoli, that was a small lab. It's slightly different.
So foods are genetically are modified in nature, naturally, as well. The concern, again, when you introduce, the species of human industry into that, and the extent to which the modifications are made, and when it's being modified, for example, to the extent that when it's being grown, the bugs and other things that would naturally, as a part of farming, it's immune. So it can't even kill them.
Yeah.
Right? So if the whatever it is that they are using on these plants, where it's not even going to kill the bugs in nature that is naturally a part of farming, then what do you think is going to be the impact on you and your body? And even the types of seeds that are out there. Again, just go. So here is what I want you guys to do. Go and research Monsanto. You do that research on your own. And again, come to your own conclusion.
Absolutely. Producer, let's go. Let's take this last caller. Oh, we got to go to the break, caller. We're about to go to a break. Y'all listen to this. So listen, when we get back, I have to ask my guest, when your vegan husband come home drunk and he say hot dog sauce, because you know he drunk, he don't want hot dog sauce, what do you put in his hands instead? How do vegans deal with this?
Since my husband right here online with me, she said sound is gone. Then I got asked him to tell me what he would want, even though he don't come home drunk like that much. But anyhow.
So you ain't making him no veggie hot dog sauce?
As a matter of fact, I don't know if I can put no veggie hot dog in there, because we don't eat veggie hot dog too much because it's still processed. However, some good old veggie sauce, I might as well tell you, you can't beat that.
Listen, because that's your Bahamian card right there.
You can't beat that.
You gotta eat sauce, and vegans could eat it too.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all enjoy this music. We go into a break, and when we come back from the break, we have more questions, and we're going to talk more about transitioning from behavior to lifestyle to culture. Healthy living. You're on the clock. We'll be right back. Come tell me, my ducks in the pond. These gals all here like grass on my lawn. And let me tell you one thing. I ain't going home. No, I ain't going home. Each and every day when I out, I stay home.
out. I reach home, open up your mouth. This man drunk, hot dog sauce. Cause it's 6 in the morning, sunny dawn, and now you running out.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Jump in my ride, go to the post office. Jump out the ride, to buy one stamp. Put that stamp on the letter. Send a letter to the one I love. God, tell me, who do you love?
Whoever sent me a case of mango from the island, that's who I love. That's community. That's culture. That's what us Nassau people have been surviving on. I think we don't realize it, right? We didn't. A lot of people didn't know how the fruit got to them, how it got to the roadside vendor, the work that it took to cultivate the trees, to maintain the trees, to harvest the trees, to process the fruit for shipping, to ship the fruit. Just very quickly, we realize selling produce, right? That most people don't. A lot of people don't like fully ripened hog plum and scarlet plum. They like them red and green. And I was sitting there flabbergasted. I was ready to go call the police and lock up people. And then I realized that there's a reason why they prefer that taste. And they feel odd when they're eating a fully ripened plum.
Right.
Because the majority of plums, unless you know someone who has a tree, you buy in your plums on the side of the road. A lot of those plums come from the family island.
So they're picking it a little early.
They're picking it a little early for the shipping purposes. Mm-hmm. And so we, over the last 20 to 30 years, the palate is used to the half-ripe, half-green, you know, still getting fully ripe plum versus the burst of juice and flavor that comes from a tree-ripened plum.
Mm-hmm.
Just an add-on. So we finally got... rest in peace, Asa Albury, one of the best fruit vendors from North Eleuthera. We finally got him to ship us ripe, tree-ripened scarlet plum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a technique to it. And he was successful. And 90% of the plums we got were good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, juicy and didn't crush in the box. He's supposed to bring two boxes. He only sold us one. Because the people on the boat said, how do you expect us to be on this boat for 3+ hours and all we could smell is ripe scarlet plum? You have to sell it. So he tell us, I had to sell them Because I live with them.
They wanted some. They wanted some.
And but then I realized that those people on the island where the scarlet plum come from, they don't eat tree ripened scarlet plum like that either, because the trees are well off into the bush. Mm. It's not an everyday walk past somebody's house and just grab a ton of plum. All of this culture and systems.
And not only that, so yes, culture and systems and also exposing, as you were just describing, you know, understanding how the tree is grown, where it comes from, etc. I think that it is incumbent on all of us as parents. And that's why I am a mother, I'm a parent, and so I speak from that perspective oftentimes, most times. It is incumbent upon us, you talked about teaching the children.
Mm-hmm.
It is our duty. It is our duty, I believe, my opinion, that we ensure, and not in all spheres, not just sending the children to school to learn their ABCs and get their BJC and BGCSE, right? Because it doesn't stop there. It is incumbent upon us, particularly given the challenges that we are facing globally and the impact that things are having on our lives, our lifestyles, our health, and our well-being. And the statistics these days, just about 70%, 70-plus percent of us, certainly Americans, and we can extrapolate the same for the Bahamas, of us are suffering from some non-communicable disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is incumbent upon us as parents to ensure that we are teaching our children beyond the food store. Take them to the farm so that they can see and understand where food comes from, how it is grown. Place in the front of them, more often than not, whole food, plant-based foods, plenty colors, eat from the rainbow. And so, yes, everybody wants convenience, and we've been trapped into, again, this cycle of convenience and fast pace and gotta have it now and impatient and don't want wait and all those various things.
And overwhelmed, right? Overwhelmed.
Yes.
And end up stagnating food consciousness in our children for ease of doing business.
Yes. And I understand that it is not easy. So I'm not sitting here saying that making these changes is, oh, what's she talking about? She must even know I have raised four children. I'm still, my youngest is seven. I work and all that. So I fully understand.
I have to feed three raccoons every
day. I understand the challenges, the barriers that come along with making these changes. But again, I say that I think that it is incumbent upon us to ensure that we are doing things in all spheres of our children's lives to improve their longevity, their quality of life, and to help them to be better armed with the ability to make wiser decisions. Because what we do today, you know that they can, unfortunately, if a children who have been killed or died early, up to as young as 10 years old, when they do the autopsy, at 10 years old, they can see signs of cholesterol as well as potential for cardiovascular disease at 10 because of the decisions that have been made early on in the child's life. And so we cannot be absent of the desire to know and learn and understand, and because it's impacting our children. The next generation is relying on us.
We have to be prepared to do the hard work, right? And we got to be open with our children and have these conversations and explain to them, this is why you need to eat vegetables, because you can't be 70 and miserable. Because you can't have regular bowel movements because you didn't eat vegetables whole life.
And it won't happen when no longer are these diseases for the elderly or for the aged.
Yeah.
We are seeing hypertension, diabetes, and obesity, etc., in school-aged children, primary school-aged children. And so it is so important that we make ourselves aware, and we have to bring it to the forefront, and it has to be a part of the conversation across the board in all industries, all of them, because health and wellness is the bottom line. Because if you don't have that, then really you can't get to everything else. You could be a billionaire, but can't enjoy it for too long because...
In fact, I tell people all the time, I can't wait to be a part of the Tree Score and 10 gang, right? Like, that's something I can't control, but I wish to get there. What I can control, though, is that when I get there, I'm miserable by choice, not because I'm in pain, because I'm not strong enough to carry my own body weight. Right, like when my great grandnieces and things don't want to take me nowhere, I could walk by myself where I want to go, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about choice and it's about discipline. And at 46, I could tell you, I wish I had made some different choices.
Listen, and we have to understand that that we are either adding or taking away
Now, based on the decisions that we make, we're emptying our future bank account of health and wellness based on the decisions, the deposits and withdrawals that we're making right here, right now.
Absolutely. And so let's get to this call very quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Erin, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Doing great. And good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Very interesting conversation. As usual, Erin, I must congratulate you for keep on bringing the cutting-edge conversations that we should be having in the country.
Thank you.
Let's look back at, well, you said that you're what age bracket?
46, yeah.
Okay.
40-ish.
Can you go back 1970s and 80s?
Yeah.
If you really realize the differences between then and now, back then we were encouraged to eat the natural food.
Absolutely.
Of the tree. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, right now today, our biggest problem is this fast food industry we have here where your child from even the age of three, they want Wendy's, McDonald's, so on and so forth. And because it's convenient. But the convenience for us back then was when we were allowed to run out wild into the yard and into the trees. Most yards had fruit trees and mm-hmm. they were seasonal. You know, we were able to just go to the trees and just pick the food and eat the food. And guess what? That held us over until we had dinner or we even had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the conveniences is the fast food, and that is what's killing out our children. Like you so rightfully said, not just killing out our children, it's killing all of us out. Because as you so rightfully said, first and foremost, we don't know how these foods are being processed. Secondly, we don't know what's being placed in these foods.
And actually, we do know. All you got to do is research. It's right there. I know what you're saying. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Thirdly, as Brayman always seems to indicate, he's always concerned about GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even that is that the processed sugars that we put in our teas and our pies and our bakery products and stuff. All this stuff has a part to do with why we are unhealthy as a people today.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and look at the old persons who, when I say old, I'm talking about the legends, like the Millie Sand. You remember her?
Yes.
Always in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Always talking about getting things out of our bush. Things are natural.
Mm-hmm.
And all the teas and everything. I see some people have picked that up, and that is a very good thing. I think basically for us now as a people,
mm-hmm.
When you talk about health, we spend more money on trying to get ourselves well at a late age, and even at our early age with some of our children, that it's impossible to even try and save any money for our older years. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in closing then, I believe that we must have a mind shift. Our mind shift is to get back to what is natural, get back to what's in the bush. Not saying that you won't occasionally, every now and again, may take a fast food, but let's encourage our children then to eat more healthy, especially local products, because we know chances are, two to one, they're not GMOs. Chances are that they're not processed with the chemicals and all this stuff, but the chances are that our produce and the foods that we grow here is more beneficial because it's grown in our own climate. So,
right. You
know, these are some of the things that we have to rethink and get back to the drawing board and get back to the old way of how we used to do some things because it was beneficial for us as a people.
Fabulous.
Thanks for taking my call, Erin.
Absolutely.
Great,
thank
great
you.
Points. Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's about culture. It's about understanding your culture. You don't have to keep everything, but if you understand what the most important, most beneficial, most nutritious parts, the things that were feeding you, then you can keep those, modify them for the future. For right now, you don't have to do everything your grandparents used to do, right? But let me tell you something. When that hot sauce and ketchup starts steaming inside that brown paper bag with the wax paper, right? And then you almost jump out the car as it's moving. And then you realize that your body is actually craving the vinegar that's steaming from the hot ketchup and hot sauce, because your body is craving that old-time fermented food that your ancestors had to eat because they had no refrigerator. And then it turns out that fermented food is better for you than anything you could keep in the fridge.
Hit on it, Aaron. Hit on it. Listen, that's a whole conversation I might as well tell you, because when you talk about gut flora, the gut microbiome, and the understanding that 80% of your immune system is in your gut, fermented foods, and that's, again, a whole show by itself, fermented foods is one of the missing elements mm-hmm. that we need, that and fiber and plenty, plenty fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely. We are all out of time. So watch me beg you to come back on my show again mm-hmm. by telling you all of the things that we still have to talk about.
All right.
We have to talk about diet and maternal health and preparing for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about diet and fasting. We got to talk about the dangers of sugar. We got to talk about eating and consumption habits, not just what you eat and how you eat it, but when you eat it.
And when right? you eat it, are you assimilating the nutrients that come with it?
Absolutely. What do I need to consume with this meal to mm-hmm. make me absorb the nutrients better? Is the prayer alone going to help me absorb these nutrients mm-hmm. from this food?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things.
It's a lot to talk about.
Right, and then I didn't even get to ask you, right? Gym workout or organized sport, sweet bread or savory bread, plant-based or meat substitute,
mm-hmm.
cleaner meals or smaller meals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll eat a giant bowl of salad with half a pound of chicken in it, because all salads are healthy. Don't fight me on that.
All right then, Aaron. I ain't up with that. But you know, at least you get some greens in there.
Absolutely. But that's one of the questions we're going to discuss when you come back on the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mrs. Wright, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to the audience. And thank you to my texter that sent me all these texts. You know, I can't ask all these questions on the show, texter, but I appreciate everything that you shared with me today.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a great day and stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
Yes,
and trust me,
Cecil.
The most valuable and precious treasures can be found either in the bush or in the back trunk of somebody's car right now. Y'all go have a great day.
Thank you so much.
In the bush. In the bush. In the bush.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.